This week's episode is sponsored by Spaces. Spaces is a new platform backed by 15 plus years of educator feedback designed to document the process and progress behind student learning in your classroom. Join the Spaces community to connect with educators across North America and gain access to free teacher-created resources, help educators who are just starting out on their journey, and learn new things from teachers who have been there before. So visit community.spacesedu.com today.
Is this the teacher hotline?
Hello, everyone. So good to be back again. My name is Ronald Hay, and I'm your host of the Teacher Hotline, where we try to answer some of the most pressing questions for teachers in and outside of the classroom. Today, we have Andrew from the Thames Valley District School Board. Andrew, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Ron. I've been teaching for about 20 years now and have 10 more years left before retirement. Every teacher I talk to gets excited about retirement, but for me, it's a pretty big transition. I was just wondering if you could have someone talk about what retirement life actually looks like. Do they miss a classroom? How do they even spend their time? And financially, is our pension enough income to live off of? Or do they need to supplement it with other streams of income to live comfortably? Thanks, Ron.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I personally have not thought about retirement yet myself because I'm only 10 years in, but I feel like maybe I should. So today I'm bringing in Jim Connolly, a retired elementary school teacher from the Simcoe County District School Board. Jim was a teacher for 28 years before hanging up the cleats. Jim has now been retired for 9 years, and in retirement he spends majority of his time as a professional wrestling referee for organizations such as 365 Pro Wrestling and No Ring North. Jim received his Bachelor's of Education from OASI at the University of Toronto. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today. I normally like to ask teachers how the school year is going, but I guess you're retired.
And I'm quite glad to be retired in this climate. So that's all I'm going to say. My son's a teacher in Saskatchewan, so I'm still in touch a little bit and sort of in the loop.
What a time to be retired right now. I think a lot of people would love to be in your shoes. So let's talk about retirement. You've been retired for about roughly 9 years now. So at what age did you start thinking about retirement and your exit plan?
Well, I think it's different for everybody. Just like as I taught, every kid's different. Every adult's different too. Some people have to stay a little bit longer. Some people can go a bit early. I'm always late to the party. I started teaching at 31 years old. I had worked in group homes before that. And there was just a point where I still love the kids. I still love the kids. Met a former student today, which was awesome. But you know what? The politics got to me, and I probably retired a little earlier than most people would. So I'm 67 now. After 9 years, I retired when I was 59.
So this is funny. I'm an accounting teacher right here. Do the math for me right here. How many years were you in the profession then for?
Well, it was around between 27, 28 years, something like that. And I enjoyed every minute of it. And I just thought I'd get out before I didn't enjoy it so much.
Yeah. So that was my next question for you was, did you ever get to a point after 27, 28 years where you're like, this job is just not cutting it for me anymore? I think this is time for me to get out.
Well, I think the rules came in, certainly in elementary, the math, there's such a disconnect between elementary school and high school right now around things where the feeling I get from high school is they teach it fairly similar to the way I went to school in the 60s and 70s. Where elementary, they try to do these new things all the time, and it doesn't seem to be a connect there. So I was finding the math very frustrating because I'm actually reasonably good at math. And this hands-on sort of abstract thing was driving me nuts. It was driving the kids nuts. The results, I taught grade 6. So, of course, I was involved in the testing all the time. And you could just see the results were going down. The rote learning kind of thing disappeared. I'm a dinosaur. I went to school when I was doing elementary. When I went to school, it was the 60s. I mean, it was just such a different time. So it was time to go. I don't really regret it, although I miss it every single day. I miss the kids.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite grade?
I generally taught grade six. I taught anywhere from grade 4 to 8, but grade six was sort of my go-to if I got the choice, which was never.
Grade six. Ah, man, me and you, we're on the opposite ends of the spectrum. I teach grade 12s and I find that the younger kids, oh, everyone knows this, whether it's on the podcast, my guests or my students. I don't know how you do the younger kids, man. They drive me crazy.
Well, 11-year-old was my perfect age because they're young enough to play on the floor with Lego and old enough to talk about the Leaf game the night before. So, I mean, that was my perfect age. And my philosophy is always keep them as young as you can, as long as you can. So even with grade eights, I had Lego and stuff like that available and comic books or Archies and all that kind of stuff for reading and just keep them. If kids have fun, they accidentally learn. They don't mean to, they don't want to, but they do. Yeah. So a nice atmosphere in the classroom and that was kind of my thing.
And how did you make sure to stay excited about your job year after year after year? Like 28 years, that's a long time. And I know some people, they get bored after 5-10 years of doing the same thing over and over again. How did you keep things fresh to keep life exciting?
That's in any job, I think. I just tried to make it interesting. Every class was different. You walked in I remember one year we had a class that I actually had to change all my testing because they were so smart. I had like 2/3 of those kids were, you know, A's and B's, and I had to change them because I wasn't challenging a lot of kids. So, you know, there are little things like that. There's always something different. Every principal, I change schools a lot. I don't know. At high school, you tend to stay at the same school for a long time. I, on an average, changed about every 4 years. I just thought that kept me fresh. I'd go into schools where, you know, teachers had taught for 20 years. And I don't always think that's a great thing to do. You go in and, hey, this is my room, this is my equipment, this is my, and there was a lot of my with that kind of thing where I would walk in fresh and go, no, this is, we're all teachers, you know, it's Board of Education materials, it's not yours. But you couldn't get that mindset out of a lot of people. So I kept it fresh by changing schools. In other words, every time you went, you'd change your classroom up. That was fun. And then the curriculums changed here and there. My first year, we didn't have a curriculum. You know, it was 1986. I was in a country school. I had a blank piece of paper. And here's 7 or 8 subjects you have to teach. Go. And they had social studies had an outline, you know, big concepts, you know, cooperation of countries, da, 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 da. So it was nice if you had a split grade. It was kind of nice because they didn't really have a set. Generally in grade six, you did France. But I remember one year I had a 5-6. So I made that up. I said, well, let's do Holland instead. And I'll do all the same concepts with Holland. It's a different country. My wife is Dutch. So lots of materials there. And you change it up. You make it fun. You learn new games in phys ed. Phys ed was my biggie. I loved it. I'd look out the window and said, hey, and I was the kind of guy who got bored too. I think I might unofficially have ADHD. I'm not sure, but I would get bored. I'd look at outside and I'd go, I always asked for portables. So I had a lot of portables and I'd look outside and say, hey guys, this math is, I don't know about you, but I'm finding it pretty dull. How many people want to go up for phys ed? Okay, let's go.
And that's amazing.
So that kind of thing. And, you know, happy kids makes happy teacher, makes happy parents, makes, you know, I don't know.
I agree.
It's a domino thing. So
I agree. And at the end of the day, you know, I think that's why kids are just dying to get back to school right now is, yep. That's their happy place,
it really,
right?
And it really is. And I mean, I was one of those teachers who went, you know what? You're 11 in grade six. Stop talking about university. Stop talking about, you know, I had one in grade four, a parent called me to say, well, is my kid going to university? I'm hoping he gets to grade five. I'm not worried about going to university at this point. So, it was, that's what made it interesting. And of course, new class, new people, new friends. Different. I don't really like Rotary. I'd like that classroom because it was a family. And for a year you had a family. I still talk to a lot of my former students. Raymond has the advantage of seeing my house. I'm in my basement right now and just behind me is my bar. And you'd be surprised how many former students have had a beer with me in my bar.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
My first class are 50 years old. They're not
kids. That's wild to think about.
So
wild to think about.
Yeah.
That's why I think one of the beauties of becoming a teacher is, you know, you get to see these people grow up, become adults, and you get to have these relationships with these people down the road. And it's amazing. I think that's one of the best parts of the job of being a teacher.
Well, that's the nice thing about being retired is I sit back. I've got about 250 or so former students on Facebook. And I always tell people, go, ooh, you shouldn't do that. And I'm going, here's what you do. What are you doing? Oh, you're a technician. I had a girl who's a welder. I thought, I looked at it. I thought about it. She was in grade six. I totally remember her. And I went, perfect job for you. Are you happy? Yes. Okay. Are you in school? What do you take? Good. And then we never talk again.
Yeah.
They might like a picture. You might get a conversation over that. But other than that, we don't talk again. It's not a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal either. Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Most of our coffees, you know, have a coffee with a kid or something. It usually is just spontaneous. You bump into them. Like, hey, you've got time for a coffee? Sure, let's go out. So we'll do something like
that. I agree. I love it, man. I applaud that. Let's talk about retirement. What did your first year of retirement look like for you? And did you find it difficult to transition to this next chapter in your life? Because that's a big change.
Well, for the people out there, I got to admit, I don't have a ton of hobbies. I don't know about you folks, but planning school was my hobby. That was, you know, the loose, cool teacher means we plan twice as much as everybody else. So that, you know, so I mean, it was tough. I mean, I gave up a lot of family get-togethers and stuff because I was planning and marking things and doing all that stuff, which the, you know, civilians don't understand. So I know my family doctor, just before I was going to retire, was nervous for me because he said, what else do you do? And I'm going, I really don't have a lot of interest other than professional wrestling. And he was concerned. So when I retired, I guess, you know, a friend of mine said every day is Saturday, and it's kind of true. It really is. So you sort of pick it up. That first year was terrifying. But
I bet.
By luck, I ended up getting a gym membership, which I had before I was retired. But all of a sudden, I noticed some classes, and I belong to World Gym. No advertising. I'm not making any money for this. But they offer free classes here in Barrie. And I'm a little bit north of Barrie, but I go there. And I picked up a Zumba class, which is a Latin dance type, although it involves more hip hop than Latin dancing. And I started to dance. Well, guess what? Wow. That became fabulous. I'm doing Zumba 3 and 4 times a week. I picked up yoga. I started doing that a couple of times a week, and plus just my ordinary workouts. So my wife and I, she was still working. She's an educational assistant, so she was still working. So we start dividing up the, you know, I'm starting to do the grocery shopping. I'm doing, so you sort of ad lib it. You sort of, you know, it's very, I don't think you have to plan everything. It just happens. So,
yeah. Because I think that's one of the scariest part of retirement, at least in my eyes right now, is you're going from go, 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 go all the time to all of a sudden you have all 24 hours of your day completely free. And that could be frightening for people such as myself who likes to be on the go. And then all of a sudden all that's taken away from you. That's essentially your identity for so many years of your life, right?
Well, that's exactly what, and you, like I always tell people, I said, they always go, oh, you had so much fun being retired. And I go, well, there's another side to it as well. You have 8 hours sleep on average, let's say. So you got 16 hours to kill. People are going, yeah. Well, I said, well, I've cut the lawn. I've done this. I've done that. I've done that. Well, I got another 14 hours to go. So we watch a ton of television. I'm sorry. I apologize. And I'm old. So, of course, I watch the British mysteries and things. So I have BritBox and Acorn and all that stuff and Netflix and regular TV and cable. So I do watch more than our share of TV. I still work out even during COVID. I'm downstairs here. I go on YouTube and do my COVID thing and everything. But yeah, it is hard to fill a day some days. And today is one of those days. We sat around and watched TV all day and didn't do much. Went for a walk and that was about it. So,
well, Jim, with all that working out, man, you're looking fantastic, my man. I love it. I know this is an audio podcast, yeah. But for those of you who can get a good look at Jim, we'll put a photo up later. But this guy's looking pretty damn good in his retired years.
Well, thank you very much.
I do want to talk about, though, is you kind of feel like you're downplaying this a little bit. You are a professional referee, and you do that during your retirement. Please, I want to hear a little bit more about that.
Well, I got into it a little before I retired. I was a big fan, and I won't go on too far about it because I'll be mentioning names that you wouldn't know of. But I used to go down to Maple Leaf Gardens years and years ago. We're talking 1969, 70. I lived in Toronto, Finch and Yonge area, and I would go down to Maple Leaf Gardens at 14 years old. something you wouldn't do nowadays. But I'd go down by myself, and you sort of met people. It wasn't cool to watch wrestling back in the 70s. This is 15 years before Hulk Hogan and all that stuff. So this is a time where it wasn't cool, and you kind of were embarrassed. And so I went down myself, and you sort of bumped into people. Here's a guy from Scarborough. Here's a guy from something. And you just kept seeing the same people, and we congregated together. Well, 15 years later, because I didn't have time or any, there's no internet, so I didn't know that you could go to a wrestling school or anything like that. So I didn't think you could become a wrestler. I just figured you had to be an NFL football player or, you know, amateur wrestler of some sort. So a friend of mine ended up becoming a trainer for wrestling. He trained Trish Stratus and Edge and Christian, some names you might know.
No way. And, I used to watch WWE wrestling.
Oh,
as a kid,
there you go. See that? I try to hook you with the stuff that you would know. So, and he, about 20 years later, I was 45 years old. As I said, always late to the party, 31 starting teaching, 45 years old. I said, is there anything I can do? You're doing a stint at the CNE. Every day there's wrestling. Is there something I can do? And he says, well, you know what? You could be the commissioner. You could follow this girl who is the commissioner now of our promotion. I said, what's her name? Oh, Trish Stratus.
No way.
Oh, okay. I'll follow her.
I was in love with her as a kid.
Well, and you know what? The funny thing is I've never met her, but Christian saw me first referee, which is kind of cool, but we're not allowed to talk about that because he was under contract at the time with WWE. So he wasn't there. It never happened. I'm at the CNE. He says, come on down for the first day. And he said, do you have running shoes in the car? I said, yeah. Okay. You're reffing the next match. So that was my training. And I went in and refed a guy named Sin Bodhi, who ended up becoming Karzarni in WWE for a little while, and another guy named Vijay Singh. And I refed that, and I guess I was successful because I got asked back. Very big perk of having the summers off. And so over the next three summers, I did professional wrestling refereeing at CNE.
That's amazing. So I'm assuming this is something you're still doing now, obviously outside of COVID because COVID is happening. But before COVID was happening, you were doing this regularly during your retirement?
Before COVID, I was doing it basically anywhere from 2 to 3 times a weekend. Wow. I have refereed 2,300 matches.
Oh, my God.
And if you're in the old WWE era, then I've refereed Jake the Snake Roberts several times, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Whoa.
For your modern listeners, I've even refereed the Young Bucks and MJF, some of the new guys, Shotzi Blackheart for WWE. But I've refereed them all local Ontario, although every year, and here's another bone of contention about teaching. Everybody thinks we have this great job. But you know what? I never could take time off. There was a reunion called the Cauliflower Alley, and I'd never been able to take time off because the convention is Monday to Wednesday. So retirement meant I could go to Vegas for 3 days and experience this great convention. So you're sitting, I remember one time I was sitting, and for some reason, all the Canadians, there's about 75 Canadians who hang out. There's about 500 all the people together there. People that I used to watch in my childhood, and some Canadian came over named Pat Patterson, who used to be the personnel guy for WWE, and Gene Okerlund. So I had a beer with those two, which was pretty exciting. It's just been a great experience for me. And I get to that teacher part of me. I get to be with these 18-year-old wrestlers and these 20-year-old wrestlers and watch them grow. And I feel like they're my students in a way. I'm the grandpa of Ontario wrestling. I'm the oldest active referee in Ontario. I'm 67 years old. And I think I mentioned that before. And I got to keep up with these 18-year-olds. So I'm doing a lot of dancing. So
that's incredible. What an amazing story that is. And you know what? For all the regular listeners out there, everyone knows that I'm a comedian myself, and I love just having something I identify with outside of the classroom, right? It's not just teaching. Like I have something else. You know, I got this podcast going, I got stand-up going, right? You had teaching, but you were also a referee.
And it's very interesting because there's a real connection between stand-up comedy and wrestling. I used to go to Yuck Yucks because I always thought I was going to be a comedy writer at one point. And there was guy who used to open named Simon Rakoff.
Oh, you know Simon. Well, I don't know him personally, but I know
him. And he always opened up with a joke about his name. And that's all I'm going to go there because this is a wonderfully professional show. And I always thought that was funny. Well, I'm watching. He ended up coming to Barrie one time, maybe 4 years ago. And I talked to him for a minute after the show and said, I used to watch you. It wasn't more than 2 months later, I noticed him at the front row of a wrestling show.
Crazy.
And now we're really good friends, but there's a couple. I was on another podcast about 2 years ago and found out he was a stand-up comedian, which I didn't know.
Yeah. And I was on a show with him once.
And there's several wrestlers out there who are stand-up comics. So there you go. There
That's
is a connection.
What a small world. What a small world.
Really, truly.
I want to talk about switching themes for a moment now. We talked about retirement in terms of what you're doing, how you feel your schedule. You talked about refereeing. I want to talk about more of your personal life, if it's okay to kind of dabble in there.
All right.
I know that, you know, right now with this lockdown, a lot of couples, for the first time ever, are just spending way more time with each other because they're forced to. And I would imagine for something like retirement, that's the same thing, right? You go from seeing each other at the end of the day, you come home, you see your wife, oh, honey, how you're doing? How was work today? And you talk about it. But now it's like you wake up, it's like, I'm assuming your wife is retired, correct?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, now you got 24 hours with each other. Did you find that during retirement, it also, you know, changed your relationship with your wife a little bit different? Because I think that's one thing a lot of people think about is like, oh wow, like I'm with my partner all the time now.
Well, for such a young guy, you have a very good idea of what will happen. So you're a good planner. I can tell that already.
Oh, thank you very much.
You see what's going to happen. Of course. Just human nature. I think back to the I Love Lucy episode where everybody's little habits sort of got on each other's nerves kind of thing because they're all in the same room for a while. And that's so true. I know my references are dated, but I'm old. So, one of the things you notice is that I'm in my basement. And my basement is my little sanctuary. And I suggest very much that you have a larger house so that your wife has her thing. Because, you know, you could do a podcast on my wife, too, because she's an educational assistant. She plays hockey. And now she's made it into ball hockey now because she's close to me in age. And she still plays. And she's playing with 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds, too. So she does that. I do the wrestling on the weekend. So we're apart. I'm an only child, so I need my space. And you're exactly right. So right now she's upstairs on the vow of, you know, threat of death if she makes any noise. So that's always a good thing. But the other thing too you forget is, you know, we're married for 40 years this year. And
congratulations.
Oh, thank you. 10 years happily. And you can even tell the grade six jokes I was doing. They're not funny for adults, but for grade sixes, I killed. We have grandchildren, at least one granddaughter, and not that it means anything or anything else. She's an autistic, four-year-old, and she keeps us busy. And we're lucky enough to have a house that's 20 minutes away from my daughter. So we do a lot of, you know, pick her up and, you know, drop her off here and that kind of thing. And we could do overnights and things like that. So that's been a big part of my wife. She is so good because the educational assistant part, she understands more and she worked with younger kids and she worked in kindergarten. So, and my granddaughter is now in junior kindergarten. So, I mean, there's a lot of, it gives my wife lots to do. Plus my wife does have hobbies. She likes to knit and sew and do all that kind of stuff and still plays hockey, you know, when it's not COVID. And, so we keep ourselves busy that way. But I do think you're right. I mean, I think there is a point you need to have some separate time and have a separate space in your wherever you live, house, apartment, condo, whatever. But you need your own space too. So, but we spend a lot of time together. And, you know, after 40 years, you figure out what you like together. So,
yeah. So this is something you would say this isn't like an active conversation you would have with your wife, you know, when you came into retirement, say, hey, honey, all right, you know what? This is a new chapter in our lives. I think this we got to schedule our days like this in order to be happy. Or did it kind of just naturally happen, all the things that you talked about?
I think it's a lot of it is just natural. But I think once in a while you have to stop like something. It sounds so stupid. But things like she would shovel a little bit of the driveway and I'd go, well, now what am I supposed to do? That's my job. I blow out the driveway. Nah, nah, nah. So we made a compromise and she does the back deck now. So she feels good. She likes to shovel. She likes to do things, but she's busy. She's more driven than I am. I'm pretty easygoing and laid back. And it was only the teaching profession that really, really ever opened up this drive. Like most teachers are a personality. I'm not. I'm as laid back as you get. If I can just sit and chat with the kids, that would be I would love that. But, took me not too long to figure out that, you know, you got to be planned and probably more planned than your average teachers. But
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going from the teacher hotline to the relationship hotline. Getting a little spicy, man.
All right, that's as far as we're going with that one, I'll tell you that.
Let's move on before I get myself canceled. let's talk about the finances of retirement. Now, we ran an episode back in season one, episode 19, on the Ontario Teachers Pension Plan. Mm-hmm. And a lot of teachers had a lot of questions about how that worked and, you know, if that amount of money would be able to sustain retirement. So I guess this is the first time I've talked to a retired teacher. From your own personal experience, you know, do you find that the Ontario Teachers Pension Plan, is that something you were happy with at the end of the day? And is it something that's enough to help you live a comfortable and happy life? Or do you think you need additional income or investments to be able to support you?
One of the things teachers do is we're kind of it's a lifestyle, not a job, to a certain extent. I used to explain that. And a lot of us don't have friends outside of teaching. I did, and I purposely did, because I think you realize when you talk to other people, we have it a lot better than other people. I lived at Finch and Young. Well, you're looking, oh my gosh, that's a really, well, no. I lived in a 2-bedroom house, 1 bathroom. My dad said there used to be deer running across the back. I mean, it was undeveloped. So, I mean, it sounds like I was really wealthy, but I wasn't. We can't, you know, it was, you know, we sold our house in the 70s for $60,000. Oh my God. Could have been a millionaire. But I'm just saying, but they bought it for $12,000. So we made lots of money. But my point is, you have to stay within your means. Teachers get what I consider unbelievable pay. My dad worked for Eaton's and my mom worked for Eaton's. My mom stopped working the minute I was born. It was that kind of era. So we never had a lot of money. My dad never made more than $100 a week. So being a teacher, I'm probably the first university educated guy in my family. And I automatically kind of made more money no matter what I did. And I'm not saying, you know, as I said, you know how much you're making as a teacher, but the pension is great. Now, what I explain to them is to people that see us from afar, because you find out a lot of people don't have pensions. A lot of people don't have, their pension is certainly not even close to mine. If you have an educational assistant in your classroom and you're not afraid of the, you know, Me Too thing, give them a hug tomorrow, because I can tell you how much they make and I can tell you what my wife's pension is. And it is, you know, I don't know if you could live on $10,000 a year, but that's probably the kind of, and she started in 95 and she retired last year. And that's about what she makes for pension. And you know how, I mean, I went at a point where I made 50% of my salary. So I'm not making tons of money, but you know what? I've got a ravine lot in north of Barrie with a river going through my backyard. I have a 3-bedroom 4-bathroom house, which is, I mean, it's not the best house in the world or anything like this, but it's within my means. The house was paid for. I paid for my house at 50 years old. You all are probably different people. If you're in Ontario, you know, depending where you live in Ontario, stay within your budget when you're 30 years old, when you're 40 years old. Think about retirement. Don't a lot of people leave it till they're 50 and go, well, I guess I should put something away. So yeah. I had RSPs. I have, you know, the tax-free, every time I get some money, I throw it in there. I was lucky enough to be in that era where we got a gratuity when we retired. So that was a nice extra little, you know, whatever money it was, but it was, you know, 5 figures of some sort. So that was a little money you get.
Yeah. Now that's a common question that a lot of teachers have, especially at a younger age, because they know about this pension plan that we get. So their first thought is, does that mean I don't need to save up for retirement anymore? I don't need to invest into my RRSP? What would you say to someone that's in their 20s or 30s that might have that thought?
Well, you have a perk now that we didn't have, and that's the tax-free account. That's also a really nice little thing that I think is good, because you forget the RRSP, and I don't understand it that much either because I've never used it. I mean, I live on my pension, and I haven't really delved into my RRSP, and I've got about low six-figure RRSP. When you take it out, you see, you're paying for the taxes that you got back when you first bought it. So it's great. Right. You know, if you don't want to pay taxes, get an RRSP and you don't have to pay taxes. But you do eventually. So if I take out $5,000 and I don't know the rate, but I basically am really only taking out $4,000 or so, because you lose that $1,000 in the tax that catches up on you. So I think I'm an old milieu kind of approach kind of person, a little bit of everything. So I've got tax-free, I've got RRSPs. I'm 67 now. I'm starting to worry because at 71, those RRSPs, you have to turn into a RIF. I'm nervous that I'm going to make too much income, that my taxes are going to go way up. So I don't know. Every stage so far has been, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. So, and I was one of the first ones of my colleagues who retired. So they call me all the time. I'm the expert kind of thing, because it's like, if I blow it or make a mistake, then they can learn from my mistakes. But so far, it's been pretty good. I can't complain. I just can't complain. And you know, everything's paid for. I money in the bank, and I get to go to Vegas every year. So there you go.
That's amazing. That's incredible. You know what? I will say, you know, being a teacher is one of the best jobs in the world for so many different reasons. I think, you know, the job itself is fantastic. The pension is great. The time off is great. The kids are great. And honestly, it sounds like the retirement is great as well. So I want to wrap things up by asking you, what's the best part about retirement?
The best part about retirement, I hate getting up early in the morning. And to me, 7:30 or whatever time we used to get up would be way earlier than that, is ridiculous. I sleep into the, you know, I might get up at the crack of 9, maybe 10 if a really bad day. But I generally get up at 9, which is a lot earlier than I thought I would. That's my favorite thing. Every day is Saturday, as they say. Every day is an adventure. A lot of days, my calendar, I've got nothing on, especially during COVID. Like, I don't plan a, you know, I go to Barrie. I'm in a little bit of a rural place. So I go to Barrie once a week to do my shopping, which was today. And I just stay at home now that the gyms aren't open and do nothing. So if you're the kind of person, which I don't think you are, but I think if you're the kind of person who doesn't mind doing very little, it's awesome.
I'm going crazy right now in this lockdown, Jim. I'm going nuts. I need to do something immediately.
And the other thing, too, is you got to remember your friendship little group are usually teachers.
Yeah.
It's going to disappear. I'm just going to tell you that. And I'm not being bitter or anything like that. I have one teacher friend, which is scary to me because, you know, how many teacher colleagues did I have and people over and everything. I have one that really comes and visits once a week kind of thing.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think what happens is when you retire, a lot of people move away. One of the first things they do. So a lot of my group of friends have moved to different places in Ontario. Maybe go, you know, basically this, the philosophy up here is every, you know, a couple of miles you move north, it's a little bit cheaper. So a lot of people went north, and some people are moving out, and family becomes really important. So, and their kids. So you think when you're at an age now where people are getting their kids, they're young, but when the kids are, you know, 25 and 30 and have their own kids, grandkids become really important. So, you don't socialize as much, and your interests, those teacher friends, did you have really a lot in common with them other than teaching and gossiping about the other teachers? Cause that was my favorite thing to do.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's just something to think about. Yeah.
Oh my God. You just opened up a can of worms. I feel like I want to talk to you for another 10 more, 15 more minutes about this.
Yay. The other thing I do is a lot of podcasts. This is my fifth one in 5 weeks. So I do wrestling ones.
Jim, one final question. What's the one thing you wish you knew before entering retirement? Whether it was financial advice you wish you had, lifestyle, something that you just wish you knew before retirement?
I'm not sure. I that's a good one. Probably the friend thing. If I had known that I was going to lose all my teacher friends, because we all retire at different times too. So, I mean, it all, and you know, I don't know. I don't know if I would have done anything differently. Or I don't know. I don't think so. I think I was.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Look back with no regrets. No, I love
not
it.
Really any regrets. No, I'm happy. I'm a happy
that's
guy.
That's incredible. You look very happy. Yeah. I love the bow tie, by the way, again, you guys can't see, but Jim has this incredible pink bow tie on.
I got to do the wrestling thing, and I wear a bow tie when wrestling quite a bit. So I used to bring bow tie justice all over Ontario. So
that's a good look, so, Jim.
And I actually sell them at shows. So that's why. $5. All right.
Well, Jim, why don't you tell the listeners, where can people find you online? Do you have any social media where people could find you? Or if you sell merch, where can people buy some of your merch?
Who, me? I'm just a 67-year-old man. Okay, I'm on YouTube at Eddie Old School. I'm on Facebook at Eddie Old School. I'm on Instagram at Eddie Old School. I'm on TikTok if you want to see me dance. Eddie Old School. I'm Eddie Old School 123. So there you go. I think those are all my socials. I don't have any merch for sale. That's another topic and another day. Wrestlers hate me when I sell stuff. So I try not to do that. But
Well, Jim, thank you so much for hopping on to today's episode. This was so much fun. 30 minutes just absolutely flew by with you. And I feel like you just have so much wisdom to share. And I feel like I probably gotta ask more questions once we go offline. But thank you so much again. And you're a lucky man to be in retirement during these times right now. Let me tell you that.
I believe it. I wish you all good luck.
Thank you so much. And thank you to all of our listeners for also tuning in to another episode of The Teacher Hotline. If you enjoyed today's episode, feel free to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And of course, don't forget to click that subscribe button on Apple, Spotify, and on Google. We'll see you again next week on Monday. Take care, everyone.